Hello, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news, and the first story today is entitled VA: Reach Out to Veterans in Crisis. And this is by Mary Wyckoff. Danville: Small actions can make a big difference to veterans experiencing difficult times. That's the message from the U.S. Department of Veterans' Be There campaign as a reminder to veterans and loved ones during Suicide Prevention Month. During this and every month, VA Ileana Healthcare System remains committed to spreading awareness of suicide prevention to veterans and their supporters and connecting them to resources they need. Suicide is preventable, and it is up to each of us to start the conversation that may ultimately save the life of a nation's warrior, said Sean Bransky, Ileana System Medical Center Director. The VA has an abundance of resources available from training, community outreach, and social media safety toolkits. We encourage you to reach out to us to learn more about how you can help. The VA is always there, and we want you to be there with us as a partner to put an end to this national tragedy. Be There suggests several simple actions that can help make a difference for a veteran, including learning about the warning signs of suicide found on the Veterans Crisis Line website, watching the free SAVE training video to learn how to respond with care and compassion if someone indicates he or she is having thoughts of suicide, contacting VA's Coaching into Care program, where a licensed psychologist or social worker will provide loved ones with guidance for motivating veterans to seek support, sharing stories of hope and recovery from VA's Make the Connection, reaching out to the veterans in your life to show them you care by sending a check-in text, cooking them dinner, or simply asking, "How are you?" The local contact at the Ileana System is VA Ileana Suicide Prevention Coordinator Megan Cambron, LCSW, or you can email at megan.cambron@va.gov or call 217-554-3163. Our other front page story is electronics collection set for next month. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville: People cleaning house during the coronavirus pandemic and who have unwanted electronic items will have a chance next month to recycle and dispose of them. The Vermilion County Health Department is hosting another free electronics collection event. The collection will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on October 17th in the north parking lot of Danville Area Community College at 2000 East Main Street for all county residents, including those living in the city of Danville. Residents are encouraged to bring their broken, obsolete, or unwanted CRT or tube televisions, flat screen or LCD televisions, CRT monitors, flat screen or LCD monitors, computers, printers, electronic keyboards, fax machines, VCRs, portable digital music players, video disc players, video game consoles, electronic mice, scanners, converter boxes, cable receivers, satellite receivers, or video disc recorders so they can be recycled or reprocessed. Local recycling companies don't take televisions or computer monitors, but can accept many electronic items for recycling or reprocessing during their normal business hours. Contact them to learn more. The October 17th event is jointly sponsored by Danville Area Community College, the Vermilion County Health Department, and Keep Vermilion County Beautiful, and is open to any county resident, including Danville residents. Proof of residency will be checked. Vermilion County residents will be limited to a maximum combination of 7 items per vehicle at the collection. Items need to be in enclosed trunks, truck beds, or trailers, and not in front or back seats. Keep Vermilion County Beautiful is also involved in the planning of the event, and donations to KVCB will be accepted for future recycling and beautification events. Last year, the recycling event saw 623 vehicles, up from 597 vehicles in 2018, and collected 1,205 televisions, up from 1,184 in 2018, and 322 monitors, up from 253 in 2018. All told, we oversaw the removal of 102,506 pounds of unwanted electronics from Vermilion County to a processing plant in Wisconsin, according to Doug Toole, Public Health Administrator with the Health Department. Next up, we have a staff report, and this is titled, County's COVID Cases Hit 371. Danville. The Vermilion County Health Department reported two new confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 on Monday. Affected were one resident in his or her 70s and one in his or her 20s. That brings the county's total number of positive cases to 371. On Saturday, there were 13 negative test results reported and two new positive cases, one in his or her 30s and a teen. At that point, the total number of negative tests was 20,661. On Sunday, there were no negative test results reported, but there was one additional positive case, a resident in his or her 30s. Also, one of the positive cases has taken a turn for the worse and is now hospitalized, said Doug Toole, Public Health Administrator. In Illinois, the Illinois Department of Public Health on Monday reported 1,381 new confirmed cases of COVID-19, resulting in 8 confirmed deaths. The latest reported fatalities bring statewide death toll due to the virus to 8,179 since the start of the pandemic. There have been 250,961 confirmed coronavirus cases during the same period. Within the past 24 hours, laboratories have reported 28,975 tests of specimens for a total of 4,447,347 tests conducted in Illinois. That brings the 7-day statewide positivity rate for cases as a percent of total tests to 4.2%. Heading into the Labor Day weekend, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Anthony Fauci said Illinois and half a dozen other states with increasing COVID-19 numbers are at risk for a surge in cases over the holiday. As of late Sunday, 1,484 people in Illinois were reported hospitalized with COVID-19. Of those, 352 patients were in intensive care units, and 137 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. And in a related story in the commercial news from the AP, we have summer of COVID-19 ends with health officials worried. This is by Jeffrey Collins from the Associated Press. The lost summer of 2020 drew to a close Monday, with many big Labor Day gatherings canceled across the U.S. and health authorities pleading with people to keep their distance from others so as to not cause another coronavirus surge like the one that followed Memorial Day. Downtown Atlanta was quiet as the 85,000 or so people who usually come dressed as their favorite superheroes or sci-fi characters for the annual DragonCon convention met online instead. Huge football stadiums at places like Ohio State and the University of Texas sat empty. Many Labor Day parades marking the unofficial end of summer were called off, and masks were usually required at the few that went on. Please, please do not make the same mistakes we all made on Memorial Day weekend. Wear your masks, watch your distance, and wash your hands, said Dr. Rael Pino, state health director in Orange County, Florida, which includes the Orlando area. The U.S. had about 1.6 million confirmed COVID-19 cases around Memorial Day before backyard parties and other gatherings contributed to a summertime surge. It now has more than 6.2 million cases, according to the count kept by Johns Hopkins University. Deaths from the virus more than doubled over the summer to nearly 190,000. In New Orleans, which had one of the largest outbreaks outside of New York City this spring, city officials reminded residents that COVID-19 doesn't take a holiday after they received 36 calls about large gatherings and 46 calls about businesses not following safety rules on Friday and Saturday. This is not who we are, and this is not how we, as a community, get back to where we want to be, the city said. In South Carolina, which was a hot spot of contagion over the summer before cases started to decline in early August, 8,000 fans, including Governor Henry McMaster, were allowed to attend the NASCAR race at the Darlington Raceway on Sunday. State officials approved a socially distant attendance plan at the track, which can hold 47,000 people. It was the biggest gathering in the state since the outbreak started 6 months ago. Many rows and seats were kept empty to keep groups of fans apart, and people were asked to wear masks. Debbie Katsanos drove down from New Hampshire with her husband, her father, and a friend. It was their first trip out of state since COVID-19 started spreading. They had time off because the Labor Day weekend fair, where they typically sell concessions, canceled this year. Katsanos said they wore masks at all times when they were away from their motorhome, ate in a restaurant only once on the way down, and tried to stay socially distant when visiting with other people at their campground. It's probably our only chance to get somewhere before the summer ends, Katsanos said Monday as she sat in traffic on Interstate 95 in North Carolina on the long trip home. I saw it as the turning of the corner. We survived this. Let's live life a little. And now we'll turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, September 8th. And our first today is for William Edward Hunt. William E. Bill Hunt, of Sun City, Arizona, and formerly of Danville, Illinois, died September 2nd, 2020, in Sun City. A specific date for a memorial service has not been set due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In lieu of cards and flowers, the family requests memorials be made to Alzheimer's charity. Deborah J. Lehman. Deborah J. Lehman, 62, of Ridge Farm, passed away at 4:10 p.m. on Saturday, September 5th, 2020, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 12 o'clock noon on Thursday, September 10th, 2020, at Robison Chapel in Catlin, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Burial will be in Forest Park Cemetery in Georgetown. There will be a visitation from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Thursday at Robison Chapel. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, face masks will be required for entry to the visitation and the funeral. Lonnie Jean Phipps. Lonnie Jean Phipps, 70, of Williamsport, Indiana, passed away at 6:30 a.m. on September 6th, 2020, at Williamsport Nursing and Rehabilitation. Visitation will be at Grady Funeral Home at 110 South High Street in West Lebanon, Indiana, on Thursday, September 10th, from 3 p.m. Eastern Time until service at 5 p.m., with Pastor John Jordan and Brother Dennis Phipps officiating. Military honors will follow. Robert Hatfield. Robert L. Bob Hatfield, 76, of Hubston, passed away at 10:02 a.m. Friday, September 4th, 2020, at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. Visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 8th, at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hubston. A private family funeral service will be held with a public graveside service at 11:15 a.m. on Wednesday, September 9th, at East Lynn Cemetery in East Lynn. Memorials may be made to the Hubston United Methodist Church, 403 East Main Street, Hubston, Illinois. Anderson Funeral Home is handling the arrangements. John Paul Wilson. John Paul Wilson, 62, passed away on Tuesday, September 1st, 2020. He was born on February 9th, 1958 in Danville to James and Catherine Pate Wilson. Visitation will be held from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, September 8th, at Sunset Oakwood Chapel at 105 East South Main Street in Oakwood, Illinois. A private celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, September 9th at the funeral home. Patty Wise will officiate. Burial will follow at Oak Hill Cemetery. Everyone is invited to join the family for lunch at Sleepy Creek Vineyards Dragonfly in Fairmount, beginning at noon. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in John's memory to the Vermilion County Humane Society or the Oakwood United Methodist Church Appalachian Service Project. Walter Carl Butler. Walter Carl Butler, 91, formerly of Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away at 1:45 a.m. Sunday, September 6th, at St. Mary Healthcare in Lafayette, Indiana. Graveside service will be at 10 a.m. Central Time on Thursday, September 10th, 2020, at Danville National Cemetery in Danville, Illinois. Dickerson Funeral Home is entrusted with the arrangements. Raymond Ellis. Raymond F. Shorty Ellis, 93, of Westville, passed away at 1:50 a.m. on Saturday, September 5th, 2020, at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman. Funeral service will be at 12 noon Wednesday at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Charlie Strange will officiate. Burial with military honors by Westville American Legion will follow at the Georgetown Cemetery in Georgetown, Illinois. A visitation will be from 10 a.m. until the time of service on Wednesday at Robison Chapel. Memorials may be made in his memory to the Westville Church of Christ. Reva E. Holycross. Reva Elaine Holycross, 85, of Perrysville, Indiana, passed away on September 6th, 2020, in Danville. A celebration of Reva's life will take place at 11 a.m. Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville at 3940 North Vermilion Street, with Pastor Ramey Gordon officiating. Visitation will be held prior to the service from 9 to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Burial will take place at Danville National Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made in Reva's name to the VA Ileana Healthcare System in Danville. And that's the end of the local obituaries for Tuesday. We're going to turn to the sports pages for a story about Lou Brock. This is from the AP, and it's entitled, Cardinals outfielder speedster Brock dies at 81. New York. Hall of Famer Lou Brock, one of baseball's signature leadoff hitters and base stealers, who helped the St. Louis Cardinals win three pennants and two World Series in the 1960s, has died. He was 81. Dick Zitzman, Brock's longtime agent and friend, confirmed Brock's death Sunday, but he said he couldn't provide any details. The Cardinals and Cubs also observed a moment of silence in the outfielder's memory before their game Sunday at Wrigley Field. Brock lost a leg from diabetes in recent years and was diagnosed with cancer in 2017. Lou Brock was one of the most revered members of the St. Louis Cardinals organization and one of the very best to ever wear the birds on the bat, Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. said in a release. He will be deeply missed and forever remembered. The man later, nicknamed the Running Redbird and the Base Burglar, arrived in St. Louis in June of 1964, swapped from the Cubs for pitcher Ernie Broglio in what became one of baseball's most lopsided trades. Brock stole 938 bases in his career, including 118 in 1974. Both of those were big league records until they were broken by Ricky Henderson. Lou was an outstanding representative of our national pastime, and he will be deeply missed, Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a release. Brock's death came after Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Seaver died Monday. Brock and Seaver faced each other 157 times, the most prolific matchup for both of them in their careers. Along with starter Bob Gibson and center fielder Curt Flood, Brock was an anchor for St. Louis as its combination of speed, defense, and pitching made it a top team in the 1960s and a symbol of the National League's more aggressive style at the time in comparison to the American League. There are two things I will remember most about Lou, former Cardinals teammate Ted Simmons said in a statement. First was his vibrant smile. Whenever you were in a room with Lou, you couldn't miss it. The biggest, brightest, most vibrant smile on earth. The other was that he surely hurt numerous times, but never once in my life did I know he was playing hurt. The Cards were World Series champions in 1964 and 1967 and lost to the Detroit Tigers in seven games in 1968. Opposing teams were warned to keep Brock off base, especially in the low-scoring years of 1967 and 68, when a single run could often win a game. But the speedy left fielder with the pop-up slide was a consistent base-stealing champion and run producer. A lifetime .293 hitter, he led the league in steals eight times, scored 100 or more runs seven times, and amassed 3,023 hits. Brock was even better in postseason play, batting .391 with four homers, 16 RBIs, and 14 steals in 21 World Series games. He had a record-tying 13 hits in the 1968 World Series, and in Game 4 homered, tripled, and doubled as the Cardinals trounced Detroit and 31-game winner Denny McClain 10-1. Brock never played in another World Series after 1968, but remained a star for much of the last 11 years of his career. He was so synonymous with base stealing that in 1978 he became the first major leaguer to have an award named for him while still active, the Lou Brock Award, for the National League's leader in steals. For Brock, base stealing was an art form and a kind of warfare. He was among the first players to study films of opposing pitchers and, once on base, relied on skill and psychology. In his 1976 memoir, Lou Brock, Stealing is My Game, he explained his success. Take a modest lead and stand perfectly still. The pitcher was obligated to move, if only to deliver the pitch. Furthermore, he has two things on his mind, the batter and me, Brock wrote. I have only one thing in mind, to steal off him. The very business how disconcerting him is marvelously complex. Brock closed out his career in 1979 by batting 304, making his sixth All-Star game appearance, and winning the Comeback Player of the Year award. The team retired his uniform number 20, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1985 in his first year of eligibility. And from the opinion page, we have this letter to the editor entitled Facing Down Everyday Frustrations. As we face our daily challenges, we often find they feel overwhelming. Such challenges inspire many emotions in us, but the most recurring emotion is frustration, which I believe is the emotion wherein all other feelings reside. By definition, frustration is a feeling of being upset and annoyed, especially because of an inability to change or achieve something. Our day starts with frustration. Did the toothpaste run out? If it did I buy a replacement? Did someone eat the last waffle for breakfast? Did anyone make coffee? Is our favorite shirt wrinkled or even dirty? The day, which could be full of promise and accomplishment, suddenly is full of nothing but frustration. I have come to realize that the two most important places in the world where frustration occurs can be found in healthcare field and the educational field. In healthcare, we find a patient whose illness cannot be cured and a doctor whose vast knowledge cannot do what he would like to achieve. Complete the wellness for any and all patients. And those involved in education face the same dilemma. The desire to educate each child and to give that child the knowledge to cope with adult life which awaits him or her is a desire which teachers often find an impossible teaching task. Still, every educator, much like every doctor, knows that the desired adult goal is often unreachable. Young people will face the frustration of adulting. How will I pay for college? How will I be able to find a job? Will my relationship with my best friends change? How will my parents treat me now that I am older? The reality is that even these young people find answers to the frustrating questions, and they will have new frustrations pop up. In my mind, the only way to deal with frustration is to acknowledge its existence and deal with the result as steadily as possible. I predict that if you do not do this, you will encounter yet another new and different frustration, and so the circle begins again. And that letter was from Judy Turner from Danville. And we have this staff report entitled, United Way Kicks Off Campaign Today. Danville, United We Win is the slogan for the 2020-21 United Way of Danville Area Campaign. One of the many new approaches people will see this year is the inaugural Radiothon kickoff to be held today and hosted by Newhoff Media radio station D102. Sherry Askren, president of United Way of Danville, said, "We kick off the Radiothon at 7 a.m. on D102. You can tune in and learn how your United Way donation works to positively impact our community." In addition to the Radiothon, the United Way will be at Temple Plaza to accept in-person donations from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Michelle Campbell, general manager of Newhoff Media Danville, said, "We are honored to partner with the United Way of Danville area to improve the lives of those in our community. Watch for live updates throughout the day on the Facebook page of the United Way of Danville area. Many new just-released United Way agency videos will air during the event." Also new this year is the option to make pledges by texting WIN2020 to 313-131. For more information, call Sherry Askren at 442-3512. And finally, from the community briefs, Rick Schroeder will speak to the Danville Lions Club at noon on Thursday at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. And that takes us to the end of our time for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. My name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope you have a great day. Take care.